All right, so we are doing part five this morning of our series on the worship and the age to come. Previously in our series, we focused on the following regarding worship and the age to come. First, we noted that there will be a building of a temple, a house of prayer for all people in Zion. Second, we looked at the reinstitution of animal sacrifice as a teaching tool for the mortal populations in the earth, and the meaning and purpose of those sacrifices, as we saw previously under the law of Moses. Third, we looked at the reinstitution of the Passover and the associated Feast of Unleavened Bread. Fourth, we looked at the reinstitution of the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Ingathering, which all nations will participate in from year to year in Jerusalem. This morning, we'd like to continue our series by focusing on the delineation of duties within the temple, and more specifically, who will be doing the work. So this will really be focusing on the individuals who are doing the work. We'll focus closer on the works themselves, probably in the future as we look more into the construction of this temple. Thus, our topic today will be the priests, the sons of Zadok, and the Levitical priesthood. We should say the restored Levitical priesthood. These two priesthoods are first mentioned in Ezekiel 40, 44 to 46, which we'd like to read. Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 44 to 46. Once I get there. And without the inner gate were the chambers of the singers in the inner court, which is at the side of the north gate, and their prospects toward the south, one at the side of the east gate, having a prospect towards the north. And he, this attending angel, this man that Ezekiel sees, he said unto me, "This chamber, whose prospect is toward the south, is for the priests, the keeper of the charge of the house. And the chamber whose prospect is towards the north is for the priest, the keeper of the charge of the altar. And these are the sons of Zadok, among the sons of Levi, which come near unto Yahweh to minister unto him." Here we have a delineation between those who are keepers of the charge of the house and those who come near unto Yahweh to minister unto him at the altar. The sons of Zadok are specifically named as those who approach unto Yahweh, whereas the others are simply named priests here, though later in Ezekiel is clarified these are of the mortal population, or these are the house of Levi. Eventually, as we continue our series, we would like to consider the construction, layout, and architecture of the future temple, some of which was mentioned in these verses we just read. And we'll have to touch on a few of those things during the study in a general sense. But before getting into those details from a construction perspective, I think it is important to first understand the division of duties within the temple amongst these two classes of priests, which bear similarities to what we've seen previously under the law of Moses in the tabernacle, also in Solomon's temple and the temple built after the exile. Although, as we've seen in our previous talks in the series, there are some notable changes in the age to come as compared to what we saw under the law of Moses. So first we'll look at the delineation of duties under the law of Moses amongst the Levites and the Aaronic priesthood, as well as a bit of the history of the Aaronic priesthood, which eventuated in the announcing of an additional priesthood to come. First, let's look at Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Numbers chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, "Bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation, to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the children of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. Thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on the priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." Here we see that Aaron and his sons were to officiate in the official priestly duties, whilst the remainder of the Levites helped with the service of the tabernacle and kept the charge of the whole congregation. The word charge here is the Hebrew mishmereth, meaning watch, sentry, preservation, observance, or duty. Thus, the Levites were tasked with observing, teaching, and instructing the congregation of Israel in order to preserve them. And they're also, more specific to their duties in the tabernacle, they were under the charge or the direction of Aaron and his sons. So also turn over to chapter 8 of Numbers. We'll read verses 23 to 26. Again, really looking at the Levites at the moment. Numbers chapter 8, 23 to 26. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, "This is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their charge." Here it is noted that those between the ages of 25 and 50 were to wait upon the service of the tabernacle, while those older than 50 were assigned to minister. The phrase "to wait upon" is the Hebrew saba, T-S-A-B-A, saba, meaning to mass an army or to mass servants, assemble, muster, or wait upon. Thus they were to gather together under the direction of Aaron and his sons. Thus, we would associate their service with the menial work or the physical labor required to do the work of the tabernacle on a day-to-day basis and during the yearly feast. I'll read in a little bit with David's direction to those after they were preparing for the temple to be put together. You know, this included the cooking of the, taking of the meats and the offerings, and cooking the meat and making the showbread and carrying things and so forth. But we'll get to that in a moment. This, of course, excluded specific work at the altar of burnt offerings, as well as inside the tabernacle itself, the holy and most holy places, which was appointed specifically to Aaron and to his sons. We would also include in this umbrella of service the setting up, taking down, and transport of the tabernacle. We won't take time to read through it, but in Numbers chapter 4, that work is specifically divided up amongst the Levitical families. You had the Kohathites, who carried all the furniture. The Gershonites carried the curtains, hangings, and the coverings of the tabernacle. And third, the Merarites carried all these structural portions of the tabernacle, the staves and the sockets and what have you, for the hangings. This specific portion of the work eventually ceased, that is, with the moving of the tabernacle, it eventually ceased following the building of the temple during Solomon's reign, but was appointed by David. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 23. First Chronicles 23, we're going to read 25 to 32. For David said, "Yahweh Elohim of Israel hath given rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also unto the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any of the vessels of it, for the service thereof. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above. Because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of Yahweh, in the courts and in the chambers and in the purifying of all holy things and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread and for the fine flour for meat offering and for unleavened cakes and for that which is baked in the pan and for that which is fried and for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise Yahweh and likewise at even, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto Yahweh in the Sabbaths, and in the new moons, and on the set feast by number, according to the order commanded unto them continually before Yahweh, that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the charge of the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron their brethren, in the service of the house of Yahweh." So again, they were involved, and especially you think of, I was thinking specifically of the feast, and the amount of individuals involved there, and the amount of sacrifices involved there. Aaron and his sons could not do every single one of those sacrifices, so that's why they're included here with some of these burnt sacrifices in verse 31 specifically. This was quite a lot of work, including the showbread, the meat offerings, the unleavened cakes, the measuring. They would take the flesh pots, they would hook the meat out and so forth, carrying the sacrifices from one place to another. So it's obvious why people from the ages 25 to 50 were meted out for that work. But again, the carrying of the tabernacle obviously ceased after they had built the temple. So that gives a pretty good general overview, anyway, of the work required of the Levites. But there is an additional point I'd like to note regarding their inheritance, that is, the inheritance of the Levites. After the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, recorded in Numbers 16, Yahweh sought to put an end to the murmurings amongst the Israelites regarding the priesthood. He did so by choosing Aaron's rod, the Levitical rod, which budded with almond blossoms, as you can see in Numbers 17. This was followed by a further explanation of the duties and privileges, specifically, of the priesthood in Numbers 18. So we want to read a portion of that in Numbers chapter 18. Some of this is a rehash of the duties that were already given unto the priesthood, both to Aaron and his sons, as well as to the Levites. But this portion specifically, again, we have some of the privileges also given to them. Let's start by reading verses 1 to 14 of Numbers 18. And Yahweh said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge, that is, the Levites shall keep Aaron's charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle, only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. Ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary, and the charge of the altar, and it's really referring to the altar of incense there. There shall be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren the Levites from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for Yahweh, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil. And ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you, unto Aaron, as a service of gift. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And Yahweh spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine, of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. And the most holy shalt thou eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee. See how far I'm going. 14. And this is thine, and heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings to the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters, with thee, by a statute forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. And all the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, and the first fruits of them which shall offer unto Yahweh, them have I given to thee. And whatsoever is the first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto Yahweh, shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. We'll skip down to verses 20 to 24. Yahweh spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part, and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto Yahweh, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Here we not only have a further explanation of the roles of the Levites, and specifically also the work of Aaron and his sons with regard to the sanctuary, the altar, and the holy things, but we are also given this detail that the Levites are given as a gift to Aaron and his sons to help in the service of Yahweh, and that the role appointed to Aaron and his sons is also considered a gift from Yahweh, We might say this is a privileged position that they are in. This is expanded on further as we read that Yahweh would be the inheritance of the Levites, who otherwise would have no tribal allotment in the land. We won't read it this morning, but if you look in Joshua chapter 21, it notes that while the Levites did not have a specific tribal allotment, as the other tribes did, they were given 48 cities spread throughout the other tribes. So they had some cities in which they could live. And of course, this allowed them to continue their work in serving the community over the course of the year. So in the wilderness, everybody was encamped around the tabernacle, and so it was quite simple to move from there out into the community. When they were spread throughout the land, it was really a requirement that the Levites also be spread out to continue their work regarding, again, ministering unto the congregation. Just as an aside, if you contemplate the number 48, again, there was 48 cities there, you'll note it is the product of 12 and 4, numbers relating to both natural Israel and the perfected spiritual Israel, or the cherubim, in Scripture. I think the four faces of the cherubim, the four standards of Israel, and, of course, the 12 tribes of Israel as well. This certainly is appropriate given their role as having charge over, or that is providing direction and guidance to, the entire congregation of Israel in the service of Yahweh, in the hopes that they will become in that perfected state in the future. There's just an aside there. Returning our minds to Numbers 18, we also read that the Levites would be able to focus on the work of Yahweh because he appointed the tithe or tenth of all the offerings in Israel to be given to the Levites. So they were taken care of from a natural perspective in that manner. And we'll see that again when we get to Ezekiel. Now turning our attention to Aaron and his sons. Previously in this series, we've covered their work with the various offerings on the altar of burnt offering, and specifically their work in the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. They take that central role. We are certainly aware of the special circumstances required of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. He had to wear extra attire, and he had to enter into the holy place with blood from the altar for the people and for himself. He would carry the incense with him. However, this morning we want to focus in on the fact that there was the separation between Aaron and his sons and the rest of the Levites. This was thus a higher order of the priesthood that could approach unto the holy things and minister in the holy place. And for the high priest, again, he could enter the most holy into the presence of the glory of Yahweh above the mercy seat. We see a similar division between two priesthoods, the two priesthoods we read of at the beginning of this exhortation. But we'll note that the sons of Aaron are no longer noted. Rather, in Ezekiel, we now read of the sons of Zadok. This begs the question, then, why the change? The first part of the answer can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, where the priestly office had been polluted by the sons of Eli. So look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, 22 to 36. verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. We didn't read it, but earlier in this chapter, they would also demand their portion before it was cooked. So they would try to get the raw meat and so forth. So that was also incorrect. Verse 23, he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, it is no good report that I hear. Ye make Yahweh's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against Yahweh, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because Yahweh would slay them. The child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with Yahweh and also with men. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, Did I plainly appear into the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give into the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in mine habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore Yahweh Elohim of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now Yahweh saith, Be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the day is come, that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house, and thou shalt see an enemy in thine habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee, and shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall both die. They shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house. He shall walk before mine anointed forever. It shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. I like to quote on this subject out of the Temple of Ezekiel's prophecy book. It's on page 73. It says, The declared purpose of deity, dividing the Levitical order of priests and a temple service, into two classes is more than interesting. In consequence of the pollution of the priestly office during the ministration of Eli, which we just read, he was told the iniquity of his house, that is, the house of Aaron, should not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And yet the purpose of deity should not fail. Hence we read, I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. For this reason, we find impositions upon the restored tribe of Levi, which we'll again read in a moment here in Ezekiel, impositions upon the restored tribe of Levi, and the appointment of a higher order of priests foretold in Ezekiel, that is referencing the sons of Zadok. Just as the promise of a son to David involved the coming of an immortal king, so the promise of a priest who should walk before God's anointed forever implies that the faithful priest referred to will be an immortal priest. Unquote. We find then that under the law of Moses, the sons of Aaron were appointed to a privileged or higher position, but that in the future an even greater or higher position or order of priest shall be established. Before we get further into that, and specifically why the name Zadok is used or appointed as the name for this group, I'd like to go ahead and read the portion of Ezekiel that covers the delineation of duties between these two groups, the Levites and the sons of Zadok. So we'll get to that in a moment. Let's turn over to Ezekiel 44. And first we'll read regarding specifically the restored tribe of Levi. We're going to read Ezekiel chapter 44, beginning at verse 6, and we'll read through verse 14 to start. Thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, and that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread and the fat and the blood. And they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And you can really look back at the history of Israel, this being the case. And ye have not kept the charge of my holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge and my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, No stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people. They shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith Adonai Yahweh, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house, for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. So we'll pause there for a moment. At first glance, this appears very similar to the duties of the Levites under the law of Moses. They minister in the sanctuary, they have charge of the gates of the house, they minister to and are keepers of the house and all the service thereof, they slay the burnt offerings and the sacrifices for the people, and they stand before the people to minister unto them. It's like, okay, it seems very similar there. However, it's noted that they shall not come near unto Yahweh to do the office of a priest unto him, nor come near to any of the holy things in the most holy place. While this was already the case for the majority of the Levitical priests under the law of Moses, this is a significant lowering of rank, as it were, for the descendants of the sons of Aaron. So, you know, when you first read through this, it seems like they're being punished, but they have the same duties. How is this a punishment? Well, when you recognize that the sons of Aaron, the literal descendants of the sons of Aaron, will be included in this group, it is certainly a lowering of rank in that aspect. That said, the service provided by the Levites in the future temple will still be a privileged position amongst the restored tribes of Israel, as once again, Yahweh will be their inheritance, and they will partake of a portion of the offerings dedicated in Israel. So even if you might look at it in a negative way, the way this is written, it is still a privileged position, even amongst those in the kingdom age. On this idea of Yahweh being their inheritance again, let's continue in chapter 44, beginning at verse 17. And just as an aside, verses 15 and 16 are in parenthetical statement regarding the sons of Zadok. We'll get back to that. verse 17, it shall come to pass that when they, the Levites, enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have the linen bonnets upon their heads, they shall have linen breeches upon their loins, they shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. And when they go forth into the outer court, even to the other courts of the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long, they shall only poll their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws, my statutes, and all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter, for brother or sister that hath had no husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days, and in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, into the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith Adonai Yahweh. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meat offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all the first fruits of all things, of every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thy house. The priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself, or is torn, whether it be fowl or of beasts. All right, let me catch up my notes here. All right, so this may be a bit hard to follow a little bit without a visual representation of the building. So I handed out a handout here, and I'm going to share my screen momentarily with those who are on Skype. I'm going to start sharing. I've got a visual here that hopefully helps. Hopefully you all can see that. So we'll cover this more in depth in a future part of the series. We definitely needed something to look through to understand all this. And we'll look eventually at, you know, even the furniture involved in the different areas, or slaying tables and flaying tables and a table where the sacrifices are brought to the sons of Zadok. We'll get to that later. But for today, in just a general sense, the future temple follows the same manner of approach unto Yahweh as did the previous temple and tabernacle. You have the most holy place, including the altar in the center, and that includes the innermost portion of the circle and the innermost portion of the circular temple building. I'll get it out in a minute. Again, the most holy place, in this case, starting from the center going outwards, you have the altar in the center and the innermost portion of the circular temple building. So you can see that on the screen. The tent, tabernacle, most holy within the inner court. Then you have the holy place outside of that, which includes the outside portion of the circular temple building, the inner court, also called the separate place, and the inner gate building of the square structure on the outside. You might call it the gate building in that sense. This is the location where, as we just read, the Levites are to wear their linen garments. Any time where they're within that inner gate or in the separate place or inside the temple itself, they are to wear their linen garments while attending to their duties. Then you have the outer court and the outer gate where the general population can approach with their sacrifices. As we read, the Levitical priests can go out into this section called the outer court in verse 19 to perform their duties in ministering to the people. But they must first remove their linen garments, their priestly garments, you might say, and set them into must first remove their linen garments. And as we read, they set them into chambers inside that gatehouse. Here they minister, that is in the outer court. Here they minister, stand in judgment, and teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane. Again, this is a privileged position amongst the mortal populations of the earth, and even among the restored 12 tribes. We know that these are mortal priests due to the latter verses of this chapter that we read, indicating they can marry and are capable of being defiled. They can have to bring a sin offering after the cleansing of their defilement, both of which cannot be attributed to the immortal saints, who at this point neither marry nor are given in marriage, and who have put on incorruption. So read two verses quickly on that. regarding the saints in the kingdom, Luke chapter 20, Luke 20, 34 to 38. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Also 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 50, regarding the incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So again, as we read earlier, they are as the angels, and they cannot die. What then of the sons of Zadok? Let's turn back to Ezekiel chapter 44, and we'll read that parenthetical statement in verses 15 and 16. Ezekiel 44, 15 and 16. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, so there's a special exception here or delineation, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near unto me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith Adonai Yahweh. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. So back on that visual there, they are the ones who will be able to enter into the most holy place, including the inner portion of the temple building, which is the circular building, as well as going up to the altar itself to offer the fat and the blood, which will be brought by the mortal Levite priests into the temple and given to those sons of Zadok, who will take it on further. All right, let me catch up my notes again. All right, unlike the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok are allowed to come near and minister unto Yahweh, to stand before him to offer the fat and the blood of the sacrifices. To again quote from the Temple of Ezekiel's prophecy, page 73, quote, now the sons of Zadok mentioned in verse 15 must be an immortal race, because they are said to be those who kept the charge of Yahweh's sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray. Select whatever period we may, those who kept the charge are now dead. The sons of Zadok then, therefore, must be raised from the dead before they can minister in the presence of the deity at the restoration. If raised from the dead and accounted worthy to attain to that age, they are immortal, and consequently, as we just read, equal unto the angels and cannot die anymore, being children of the resurrection. Neither do they marry or are given in marriage. In view of this, the 22nd and following verses and some other portions of the chapter must refer to the mortal Levites, not to the sons of Zadok, unquote. So will these individuals then be only the resurrected literal descendants of Zadok, who was the priest that ministered before David and Solomon in the temple? While the faithful of that family will certainly be among that higher priestly order in the kingdom, we believe that the appointment of the title the sons of Zadok applies to a greater host of individuals. Consider the name Zadok, which is the Hebrew Sadok, T-S-A-D-O-Q, Sadok, meaning just. Insert this into the title given here and you have the sons of the just. There is only one individual in the scripture that can be described completely as the just or the just one. That is Jesus the Christ. Peter calls him the just in Acts chapter 13. We like to read that. Acts chapter 3, 11 to 21. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed by Peter and John, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance he did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, that includes the restitution of the priestly order in Zion, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Certainly, Ezekiel is included in one of those holy prophets. Stephen also refers to Christ as the just one. So look at Acts chapter 7, 51 to 56. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received by the law the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. So he saw that just one that he is awaiting the return of. Further, in the recounting of the circumstances of his conversion to the people of Jerusalem in the middle of being arrested, Paul also attributes this title to Christ. This will be the last one we look at here. Acts chapter 22, beginning at verse 7. Acts 22, or read 7 to 15. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and should us hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. I guess really I should have attributed this to Ananias, but it was Paul's recounting of it. But again, Christ referenced as the just or the just one. At this point, I'd like to have a quote regarding the sons of Zadok from an article in the Truth Gleaner on this subject. This is by Brother Scott Cram. He did a much better job of summarizing it than I was attempting to do. So I decided to quote from it instead. This will serve also as the beginning of our conclusion, after which we'll have a few comments and verses. This is out of Volume 9, Issue 2, page 18. Who of all the Adamic race is entitled to be called the Just One? And who are those found to be worthy to be called his family? Think of the sons of Zadok, the sons of the just. Jesus Christ is the Just One, born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. It's Romans chapter 1. Then as to sons or family of the Just One, we read concerning Jesus, for it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the ecclesia while I sing unto thee. Hebrews chapter 2. Since Jesus then is preeminently the Just One, those whom he delivers from the power of sin and death are figuratively his immortal sons. These immortal sons of the Just One have been appropriately styled the sons of Zadok, or the seed of Zadok in Ezekiel. The members of the Zadokian priesthood are described as priests unto God thus. He's quoting from Ezekiel. He said unto me, these are they, from Revelation, sorry. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Revelation 7. In these testimonies from the Revelation, the redeemed brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ are said to serve in God's temple and to be priests unto him and to stand at his table and offer the fat and the blood. This is the same description applied to the sons of Zadok and the prophecy of Ezekiel. What are the duties in the future temple for this higher order of immortal priests, the sons of Zadok? Principally, they support the king priest after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus the Christ. And thou shalt give to the priests, the Levites, that be of the sons of Zadok, which approach unto me, to minister unto me, quoting from Ezekiel 43. Regarding their priestly responsibilities, they will attend to the requirements of the altar and for the administering of the table of the Lord located around the perimeter of the Most Holy. This includes conveying the offerings brought by the Levitical priests on behalf of the house of Israel and the people of the land to the altar of Yahweh. Unquote. Thus, part of the role of the glorified saints in the age to come will be to perform the services in a most holy place in the temple as part of a priestly order known as the Sons of the Just One. We'll talk about the name Melchizedek during the memorial service as well. That also fits in. Thus will be fulfilled what was spoken in 1 Samuel chapter 2, that Yahweh will raise up a faithful order of priests who will walk before his anointed forever. Certainly Yahweh will honor those that honor him, and we hope to be among that group that attends to the service of Yahweh in that day. In the meantime, we currently serve our mediator and high priest in a probationary sense as a royal priesthood today. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, 5 through 10. First Peter chapter 2, verses 5 to 10. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling and rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now that we have an understanding of the general separation of work within the future temple, we hope to focus in our next talk in the series more so on the particulars of the layout and functions of the future temple and look a bit closer at the day-to-day activities that will be held there. So we wanted to make sure we know who was doing what. Hopefully now we can focus on the what is actually occurring. For now, we'd like to close out this portion of our study by reading two final references. First, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, we'll read 1 through 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven ecclesias which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from he which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests, we'll touch on that in our memorial service, kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And finally, Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 to 10. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four living ones, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living ones and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. All right, so we'll stop there in our series for the time being.